Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
I'm a Star Trek fan, and I keep hearing in my mind to boldly go where no one has gone before. And I'm thinking about all the stories that we've been doing on the Chicago way, Jeff Carlin and I, that people don't want to deal with. Like, what was it last week?
Francis Parker.
Francis Parker High School and the butt plugs.
Oh, God.
I can't even say, I believe I've said that. Said those words together.
I've heard that out of your mouth too many times in the past couple of weeks, John. A week. Well, it's been a week.
And nobody wanted to touch it. And then there was mitigating circumstances and everybody on Twitter fighting it out. And now here's another one.
Another Twitter high school hijinks story, which we definitely want to get to. But John, I think there's a bigger Twitter story. In fact, I know you think there's a bigger Twitter story out there too, but the Twitter files 2.0 coming out of. It's on. I mean, it's really scary. And it, the great work out of the New York Post and company and a great, great reporter, Barry Weiss, who we should probably get on the show sometime, but we'll get to that. John, you and I kind of stepped into some of this a couple of weeks ago talking about Twitter and the idea of, you know, what's Elon Musk going to do? Should we be concerned? Should anybody care? What were they doing before? And I said, for one, that it's a corporate excursion into mining people's preferences and data collection on people. That's all social media is. You know, if you're not paying for it, you're the product. That's kind of how it goes.
The product, whether you're paying for it or not. Well, you're being rendered, you know, like, okay, what's the Italian bacon that you use? Pancetta?
Yeah.
You have to render the fat out of that Italian bacon so when you make a delicious, like when you're making spaghetti carbonara, you have to render some of the fat up. And the same thing with Twitter. The human beings are the fat, the pancetta, and the fat is rendered, right. And all that is used by commerce.
Sell us stuff, right? Sell us everything we could ever imagine. Or just to know what we're doing, what we're interested in, that kind of crap. And to that point, I've always said that, you know, people who get up in arms about this or that on social media, it's, you know, you don't have to be there. It's not, you know, you can go somewhere, do something else. Like, you know, there are other ways to communicate.
That was old Jeff. What does new Jeff say?
New Jeff is more and more perturbed that it seems blatantly obvious that arms and tentacles of the government were reaching into Twitter and telling them what not to do, what the stories to put on, you know, to tamp down and put on secret ban lists or blacklists. And it seems more and more like the exact definition of, you know, corruption of freedom of speech. You know, the freedom of speech is between, you know, us citizens and the government. But if the government is sitting in a corporate entity and telling them, if government or anyone in government is telling a corporate entity to curtail or change the things they want to talk about, I mean, that's serious, serious constitutional faux pas, if you will. And it's bled beyond that. I mean, you remember we read these stories growing up, at least I did, about the FBI, you know, trailing guys like Martin Luther King and making him a person someone who's not going to be.
Wait a second. Now the Kennedy bros, Kennedy fee, as they say, they were liberal or like darlings and you know, they Bob Dylan sang songs about them and all that, right. Martin Luther King and all that. But they were, but they had Hoover spying on Martin Luther King.
Yeah, and whether it was Hoover's, you know, his choice or not, I mean, because he's an interesting character and nefarious in some regards.
Totally but, creepy.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, you know, it's whatever. But I, my point more was the idea that I remember reading those things and that, that history and being like, what? Like, yeah, that is the worst possible thing, you know, the government can be doing to its own people. I mean, that's they're just crapping all over the Constitution. And this reeks of that, too. And it's, you know, when you stretch it out to include stuff like, you know, we've got reports from Barry Weiss saying that, for instance, someone, Dr. Jay, and I can always mess this name up, but I tried anyway, Bhattacharya, people know him on Twitter. He was one of the first doctors who were out there talking about how, you know, this lockdown is going to be very bad for kids. And he's a professor at Stanford School of Medicine, so it's not like he's, you know, on some fringe out there, you know, screaming into the to the ether. He's an actual thoughtful person who was told, who was put on a trending blacklist and a recent abuse blacklist by Twitter to essentially say, well, anything he posts can't be amplified, and if he posts things that, again, that we don't think are good, we're gonna we could block him for a short time.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves? I mean, just to recap briefly, the reason why it's an issue is because 51 intelligence experts and others, and the New York Times, the Washington Post, National Public Radio, every lib in journalism and others moved to ignore the Hunter Biden laptop story and suppress it. And Twitter censored it.
Right.
And Facebook. And then they and they banned Donald Trump from the platform. Now, look, people who know me know what I write. I'm not the big fan that, of Donald Trump that everyone seems to think. I mean, I love his policies 100%. Conservative justice, his deregulation, strengthen the military. But I never liked his personal attributes, although, you know what, now that I think about it, he may just laugh at us because maybe we're the hypocrites and fools. But anyway, Barry White, you know, who's destroying the Constitution now, right? But anyway, Barry Weiss, former op-ed editor at the New York Times, a liberal who was driven out of the New York Times around the same time I was driven out of the beloved world's greatest newspaper.
Right.
She comes out with, she has now this series, she's picked up this series that Matt Taibbi had on the Twitter files. And she, there's an interesting one. She says in the stuff that's out today, there were dissenters, meaning people who didn't think the president of the United States should be banned from Twitter. Said there were dissenters inside Twitter, quote, maybe because I'm from China, said one employee on January 7th. I deeply understand how censorship can destroy the public conversation. I mean, nobody wanted to stop at that moment and say, what are we doing? My God, what have we
done?
You know, we built the bridge, bridge along the River Kwai. What have we done?
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons why I hope I'd never be in a position to make any of those calls, that's a tough one. I mean, her point is absolutely solid. I do, you know, you don't want to be in the position of dictating what and what cannot be said. But the same argument, or then that same argument, another argument being made on the other side was, you know, look what happened on January 6th, and then look at the what he was doing to further the fervor that led to that point. You know, he was lying all at every day he could on Twitter to try to drum up people's support and anger, and you know, all the stuff that was that turned out to be absolutely nothing.
You might not like him,
right?
I mean, there are people who don't like it. And guess what? There are people who don't like him that I like. All right. You know, like right. I married the liberal Democrat 36 years ago. And I still love her and she loves me.
Right.
Yeah. I love her so much that I'm going to even watch this god awful Harry.
The Royals.
What? Royal Harry, Harry Meghan bullshit. Yeah, bleep that out. But now this thing has taken off to the point where we're now seeing media that basically worked, media that screamed about authoritarianism, yet worked hand in glove with the authoritarians to kill a story,
right?
Probably the most important story of the compromise that Joe Biden and his son, the bag man, Hunter, mm-hmm. have been compromised by China and elsewhere. And the media killed it, suppressed it, and mm-hmm. now it's all coming out. So they're freaked out. And I think we have Jonathan Turley to talk about it. We found a tape of him circling.
Yeah, here's Turley. Yeah, today as we tape this, responding to the Trump's issue.
Media is not even covering much of these Twitter files. And the reason is that they're heavily invested in this scandal. They're heavily invested in Hunter Biden. You know, the fact is that many of these organizations, including major papers, only recently acknowledged the laptop was authentic 2 years later. But what's disturbing is not the laptop, but what's on it, which are hundreds of emails detailing an influence peddling scheme that is breathtaking.
Breathtaking, yeah. That's probably an understatement. Well, I mean,
how many millions, how many tens of millions of dollars went to Bagman Hunter, or at least that's what Tony Bobulinski will testify to before Congress.
Right.
And the 10% was always held for the big guy. Who's the big guy? can we, right. Congressman Nadler, can you please stand up and tell the class who's the big guy? Not you. Who is the big guy?
Well, at the time of those the writings, it was either Obama or Joe Biden. So
here's another one, and we're going to have I think I heard rumor that we might have Miranda Devine on soon.
That's the plan. We're connected with her. She's we're just going to work our schedules out, but she's got a great book out on all this, and I'm super excited to pick her brain.
It'd be great to know how she feels mm-hmm. about the media basically avoiding and discrediting anyone who touches this story. Right. I remember what it was like, Jeff, when I was at the paper writing columns about this Hunter Biden laptop story in the days before the election, and the grief and the crying and the whining and the, oh my God, John, are you really going to write this? Oh, you know, and now I'm looking at in the same areas, because in Chicago does pride itself on, you know, speaking truth to power and tough journalism and so forth. Mm-hmm. Have there been a lot of stories on the Twitter files lately?
No. I mean, I will say I am not a fan of Elon Musk's by any stretch of the imagination, and that goes way back before any of this, the last couple of years even. I mean, he's not one of my favorite people, but I will say this is a great outcome, you know, that the folks at Twitter who ran Twitter when they were like, oh, he's going to buy it. And then he said he was going to buy it. He was trying to back out and they forced him into it. You know, that was a mistake and a half. Because all this stuff is out and we can see. I mean, I honestly hope it really, really opens people's eyes to the idea that there's any trust in media companies in general. I know I work for one and it's unfortunate, but this idea that social media and then the media companies that are behind the social media are in it for anything other than their own interests, you know, to be a bastion of free speech or a place for people to be creative together. And, you know, that's all nice. And those platitudes are fun, but it's not real. That's not reality.
Well, we're in now in Chicago. We need to, I guess, don't we need to rely on our media to tell us the truth?
Yeah.
With crime soaring, people being destroyed on the L's. Mm-hmm. I mean, women, particularly Black and Latino women, are subject to terrible assaults on the L's, and no one's saying anything.
I think Chicago is on pace to get for 20,000 cars in the greater Chicagoland, Cook County area. It's like 20,000 cars were stolen this year.
And Jimmy the Bomber Couture is dead, so he can't take advantage of the stolen car.
Right? Job. Yeah. Well, it's not even that. According to a friend of ours, John, who is involved with the carjacking program. He tells me that 82 to 85% of the cars are recovered because they're nabbed by kids who don't have a car or want to do something crazy with it, either rob somebody else, whatever it is. The cars, you know, aren't getting chopped like they used to. You know, it's not like a thing where you can shut down the chop shops and shut down the transit lines where these cars are going. It's you know, steal and dump. How do you stop that?
Well, you kids, if you're out there and you're going to do something bad, like steal a car, and you want to become a hitman and use it for a hit 6 months down the road, just park it in a garage and don't look at it. Don't touch it. Don't drive it around. Right. Paint it. You know, do what Nick Calabrese told us to do in the Family Secrets Trial.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah, but I mean, but it's stories like that that are all over Twitter locally, and you know, CWB, who makes most of their hay for everybody on Twitter. You know, that's where we find stuff that is not going to get covered, which is great. But you know, this idea that people are trusting everything face value on they're getting on Twitter, like just their feeds, you know, or whatever it is, it's dangerous. But you know, one voice I do trust on Twitter is Dan Proft, John.
Well, when you know what, I've been there was a guy who pretended to be a managing editor at the paper. He's like a liberal from the affected that he's from the East Coast. Like instead of saying rather, he would say rather.
Sure.
You know, that's a kind of dweeb he is. Anyway, so his name's Jimmy. And Jimmy writes a little takedown of Dan Proft and me. I guess I'm in it. I'm like one of these predictable right-wing pundits. And it's just amazing. But keep talking, Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might, if I ever take him out drinking, I'd just leave him on the east side. I'll go to a tavern and walk out the back door.
There you go. That'll do it. That'll learn him.
Yeah. Uber.
Right. But the story I was speaking to is this horrible story that was caught on video thanks to some students at York High School, which is, for those not directly in the area, suburban high school in Chicago. It's, you know, it's a pretty good mix of affluent and non-affluent students, you know, a good cross-section of kind of suburban Chicago life, if you will. But the story goes, and this is a post from Dan Proft, and this is the video that Dan reshared. But the story goes that there's a petition signed or put out there discussing the incident. Here's a quote from Mary Olivia Muti started this petition, but here it kind of gives a good synopsis of what happened. She says, "Hello, students of Elmhurst, Illinois. Yesterday, a student with Down syndrome was violently physically contacted in York High School bathroom. Not only was he physically attacked by several students, but others watched and laughed. This occurred numerous times at our high school, surrounding schools that turn a blind eye to bullying. We the students of York feel compelled for immediate radical change for the better." So this is a student. I mean, this is a student who's seeing this. And here's the audio. And I got to warn you, it's pretty bad. Right. And what we're seeing here is, you know, it's some kids facing off in a circle in the bathroom, and they've pushed the kid with Down syndrome over, and they're laughing at them, trying to seemingly goat him to attack this other kid. And it's, you know, it's just.
And the boy,
Yeah.
The boy with Down syndrome goes into a stall, closes the door.
Locks himself in there for safety, I hope. I mean, that's...
Yeah, You know what, and I remember I put this out there, retweeted, and thanked Dan for putting it out there. My belief is that every one of those boys, not the victim, but all the other boys, deserve a whipping. A real whipping with a willow switch or some kind of switch.
Right.
And after daddy's done with that, no supper for a week. And all these kids go to work for, I don't know, they should work for like volunteer to help kids with Down syndrome and maybe understand what they've done.
Right.
Because this little boy, you know what? My son is a special needs teacher.
And God bless him.
I heard about this and I sent it to him and I said, you know, he said, Dad, the Down syndrome kids are full of, you know, anger, but sometimes they get angry.
Yeah.
But you don't treat them like this.
That is one of the, you know, the side effects of you know, Down syndrome. With those don't know, it's, you know, a genetic mutation, and it can lead to either anger that's usually under the surface or can be under the surface in Down syndrome. But it doesn't change the fact that they're still humans. And like, we've got this, you know, could you imagine if this was a trans kid? I mean, that school would have been shut down and locked down, and it would have been, you know, all over the papers, and every station in the country would be covering it. Because it would be, you know, oh, this trans kid was beat up. But I don't hate know how to break this to you, but, you know, Down syndrome's been around for a very long time. And the fact that we're at the point where we're bullying kids with Down syndrome, where we're not even, you know, do we think there's any hope for a trans kid or a gay kid or whatever it is? You know, if we can't help this group that has been, for lack of a better word, assimilated already into schools and is regularly a part of it, and kids are exposed to all the time and have been for generations.
Do people not think that these children deserve respect and dignity?
Yeah.
And or are they not given dignity and respect because are their parents held accountable for the genetic and the defect, and then has turned them out like this because the parents did not kill them. Right. The parents did not abort the child. The parents loved that baby and saw it as a human life and held it to their breast. And I know many parents who would be sickened by what they've seen. And I just hope, you know, look, who hasn't screwed up as a kid, a
high school kid?
I have.
Not me too, trust me.
You know, I'm no saint. You know, someday I'll tell you the story about Eddie Burke and me in court. But but I'm no saint. But still, you know, I mean, don't be cruel.
Right. You know, it's just atrocious. And it needs to be, I mean, that student wrote, it needs to be a swift and an uncompassionate, I'm sure I'm murdering that word, right, John? Isn't there another word for uncompassionate retribution for those students? You know, they should all, the end of that should be their school year in that school should be over.
How about expelled?
That's what I'm saying, because those kids get expelled and they have to go to a school for children with you know, troubled behaviors, right?
Go to the loser school. Go to Montefiore or wherever.
Sure. I mean, kids, you know, again, it's kids who make mistakes, kids who need, you know, who can't be part of general pop, if you will, general population. And that should be, they should spend the rest of this. I mean, we're just before Christmas. We're talking a half a school year that they're going to be, you know, away from their friends, away from, you know, comfort, and hopefully it shows you that they can learn from this, and because it just breaks my heart.
Just to let the rest of us know,
right,
that this is not tolerated.
Exactly.
And you know what else? We saw other instances of this kind of behavior in the past, and one was, remember the Walking Man, Jeff? When you were
you were a
producer at WGN,
yeah,
and at WLS, and you'd look out the window, And you'd see, what's his name? Joseph Cremitis?
Yeah.
Tall guy, long hair, beard, I mean mustache, gaunt. And I used to think, I remember going up to him once and saying, were you a bouzouki player? I thought he looked to me like a bouzouki player I knew years ago.
Yeah.
And this poor man would never attack anyone.
Mm-mm.
He was beaten with a baseball bat several years ago. And then, last year, he was burned. He was sleeping. And he was lit a fire, gasoline poured on him and lit a fire by another little scum gangbanger.
Mm-hmm.
And how long was he there burning? 3-4 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You know how long? 3-4
65% of his body was burned. And, you know, he spent the rest of his life, which this was happened, what was this, last spring?
Right.
And, you know, so this poor guy spent the rest of his life in rehab and then died. And it's, people just need to be better to each other. I feel like, you can see the threads of humanity, right? Threads of society just breaking down, just snapping. And
it's what our friend Matt Rosenberg said was the great unraveling. And I agree. I agree. I've been writing about this too, and you've been talking about it.
Yeah.
The total, we're watching society collapse.
Yep.
Right?
And we need to do it on an individual level, do more to reverse course here. I'm talking everywhere. You know, you're in line at the store, you're in the car on the road, you're wherever it is. Just pretend like it's your grandmother. Pretend like it's, you know, your favorite aunt or best friend, whoever it is. And let's do that. Let's start there. Start everybody being, you know, we talked about this before. You know, everybody is much closer together. We have almost so much more in common than we do have different. I don't care what your, you know, what your religious beliefs are, what your political beliefs are, your personal beliefs are. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there's a lot more in common across the board. We were all, you know, born. We've all lived. We've all had love and been mad and hated. And all these things are universal. And we should take that as a brotherly embrace to each other. You know, it's just getting too much. And I tell you, out on the roads and deliver baked goods for a local delivery bakery here in Chicago. And people just are angry. We just need to all calm down. And we just all need to take a breath.
I agree. But can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Part of this is not just social media and Twitter that's driving us crazy and making us, you know, unleash the hounds and the
right.
But some of these commercials that are on TV right now.
Oh no.
I just have to say, what's her name? The woman I hate now. I hate her. And I shouldn't say this because we're just talking
about a word.
I know it's a terrible word, John. Wash your mouth up. So I don't know what to call her, but what's her name? The woman in that angry that blonde chick with the old
Jennifer,
Navy ad.
Jennifer Coolidge. For those of you who are
right,
who are White Lotus fans, which I am one of them, that show is quite evocative and pretty to look at. You know her from Best in Show, American Pie, and of course White Lotus. But she's doing this ad, and I'm with you, John. And
annoying and hateful, and I'll never buy. I can't stand her.
What's the hateful part? I don't get that.
I want her. I don't want to see her on TV. I don't want to see her handing asparagus to a reindeer and calling it a deer. Yeah. I don't like blah, 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 and all that and the hashtag, whatever.
Sorry, not sorry. Here's the ad. It's 16 seconds and concise here. And you be the judge is John being curmudgeonly.
Tis the season for hashtag giving.
Oh, giving is the best.
The blah, blah, blah. Oh, and a little something for the deer. Ooh. Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Not sorry.
Yeah. Is that supposed to be
just
funny?
I don't know. It's so stupid. Like, it's just bad marketing, in my opinion.
You know what? Okay, this woman, I've never seen her in the television show. I've never watched White Lotus. I've never you know, I'm too busy stuck in, I'm listening right. to season two of Picard. Okay. I'm stuck in the whole, you know, he's in a, trapped in his mind and the Borg mm-hmm. queen is running rampant in Los Angeles. And, I don't want her anywhere, this woman anywhere near me, anywhere near my, I just don't.
Well, I got some,
I'm crazy, man.
Yeah. They say, sorry, not sorry is really your hot take there, John, because she's a very hot commodity right now. Everyone's loving her because of White Lotus. So you're counterculturist, John, that's you.
Well, I just, what is so good about White Lotus?
I mean, it's...
What's the premise?
The premise is, and this is the second season, but the first season was a couple years ago. It was, the first season was filmed during the pandemic. They rented out the Four Seasons Hawaii, and they essentially, the premise is a bunch of rich people come to this super high-end resort, and there are mischievous dealings between them and interactions. And the first episode of both series, both seasons rather, start with somebody, the discussion of somebody's dead, died at the resort. And then so you spend the whole season wondering, well, who's going to die and how is it going to happen? And they start building all these, you know, storylines with conflict between different people. And it's shot beautifully. And it's, the audio is fantastic. The music is great. And so it's very Agatha Christie-esque, you know, but there's more sex to it.
That's so nice. You've heard about the story. We've talked about it this today, and we'll talk about it tomorrow or soon when we talk to Miranda.
Yeah,
but I just got, I'm going to leave something with you. Twitter files reveal the Trump ban came after Michelle Obama pressured the company. Now wait a minute, Michelle? Okay.
Well, at least she wasn't actively a part of the government. I'll leave you with some good news, John. You know, some actual good scientific news. As of this recording, the scientists have made a gigantic breakthrough, like 50 plus years in the making. Actually, what year is it now? 70 plus years in the making.
That
there was a fusion energy experiment that resulted in a net gain in energy, which, to break that down, means that there that fusion
physics teacher alert.
Right. So we all know like nuclear power, that's fission. That's the idea of right. like, think fissure. We're separating to an atom, and that atom, when they separate, releases energy in the form of heat and light. Well, the inverse of that is fusion works when you essentially take two atoms, heat them up or compress them down with lots and lots of energy. And they come together and form a new molecule, a larger molecule. But in doing so, they have to strip off some of their other molecules to make room for themselves to fit. Like, I think like a puzzle piece that has to trim off some of the edges so it fits. And those edges are energy. And so the idea is that if you take two molecules and you press them down together, they will join together to form another molecule, which should be pretty stable, unlike in fission, where you wind up creating waste that's very toxic and high energy and hard to deal with in the form of nuclear waste, where this will be the what you create is very stable. It's not radioactive in that sense. It's not dangerous. And it's essentially a pure form of creating energy. It's what our sun does, every second.
It's like when the reindeer craps, when that evil Jennifer Coolidge gives them asparagus like that, and it's natural.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but
are we going to have a black hole in the anomaly and the rending?
None of that is tied to this, but it's a major thing because, like I said, 70 years scientists have been trying to do this and have a net gain in energy, and they've been able to combine molecules, but they wind up having to put so much energy into it that the energy loss is outweighs the energy gain. So it's not a good use for creating electricity or powering anything. So we're years from this becoming something that we're all going to be warming our houses with, but it's pretty amazing, and it does mark a new era in physics and the race to really harness the power of the sun. So it's exciting.
That's wonderful, Jeff. That's wonderful, and I can't wait to see in the years to come when you're in a classroom and you're like you're aping or pretending to be a molecule. And you're like, and I'm my covalent bond, and I'm holding on, and I'm like, here, have a neutron. Here, I'll take a positron.
No, you can't hand that. You can't give up neutrons
or whatever that is. I don't know. Sorry, not sorry.
Well, on that note, John, I think we can wrap it up for our the two of us today. Yeah. But we did. I just confirmed we will be talking. Let's watch this space. Landing Friday morning, we'll have Miranda Devine and her great book on the laptop from hell.
Yes, the laptop from hell. Miranda Devine, New York Post columnist, hated by all the lefties in Chicago and everywhere. And she's just standing up to it. She doesn't kowtow.
Mm-hmm. And like you, John, she was born under the crown. She was born in Australia. So,
well, she was born as a subject of the empire,
right?
Not me.
No,
I was born an American. America. Bleep, yeah.
America. Well, I'm sorry. Take that back. Your mothers were born under the crown. There you go.
My mother was a subject of the crown, but not me.
Yeah, right. Well, until that. America. Until that, John, try to avoid Jennifer Coolidge and apparently Old Navy, too.
Hater. For Jeff Carlin, future physics teacher, talking about all this energy while people in Europe are chopping wood to stay alive in the winter. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, executive editor of John Cass News. And for the future, I don't know, the future is going to be bright because we're going to have Miranda Devine. Join us again, won't you, for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.